Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I know a lot of straight people think that orientation is a choice. I want to tell you that it certainly is not.
To think about saving a teenager, yeah, I'll risk my reputation for that.
Well, that's Bishop Jim Swiley. He's pastor of Church in the Now in Conyers, Georgia, mega church down there, very popular ministry. He has, as of Monday, admitted that he is gay. Says he has known this, in some sense, since he was a very small child, struggled with it, twice divorced, and now admitting to his congregation, largely to their affirmation, that he's gay. I want your reaction to this during the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Just get your reaction to this. This is perhaps the beginning of what some have said might be a watershed, especially in the megachurch movement. We had a guest some time back who said all it really takes is for one of the big, influential megachurches to either openly accept homosexuality or perform a same-sex marriage or say there's room there for some wiggle room on the biblical stand on homosexuality, and there's not much stopping it theologically. What do you think? Our call-in number for this first half hour and for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC or leave your reaction to Bishop Swiley's admission that he is gay at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We've left a place there this afternoon for you to leave your reaction, your questions, and your comments for this first half hour of Issues Etc. audio open lines. In the second half hour, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. We'll talk about temptation. And then in the second hour of the program, some are suggesting that we legally redefine the family to reflect a child's reality. Children from broken homes, blended families, two fathers by marriage, one by conception, maybe some homosexual partners involved in there. Two is simply not enough legally, some legal scholars are saying, for the family. We need to talk about more than one father and mother. And why should the biological mother and or father really be considered the real parent, whereas other quote-unquote parents get left out of the legal equation? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us there in the second hour to talk about this suggestion on the part of some legal minds that we redefine the family to reflect reality. Then we continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible. We'll talk about the location of the ascension. Where did it actually happen? There seems to be, I say seems to be, some discrepancy in the account of Luke, perhaps Matthew, and then Luke repeats the story of the ascension at the beginning of his book, The Acts of the Apostles. Is there a discrepancy? How do we reconcile them? Where did the ascension actually take place? We'll also answer the question, when was the Holy Spirit given to the apostles? Was it Pentecost? Was it before? Was it Easter evening? That seems to be in some minds another apparent contradiction. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Now, Bishop Swiley has decided that it is time for him to admit what he's known since he was 4 years old. We're going to play some of this audio. It's an ABC News story on Bishop Swiley. Oh, yes, from Good Morning America, saying before his megachurch congregation early this week that he is gay. Then I want your reaction to it, your thoughts, your comments. It's audio open lines, Issues, etc. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @IssuesETC, or chime in on the conversation at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. This on the story from ABC News, Good Morning America.
He founded one of the most prominent mega churches in America and has been pastor of Georgia's Church in the Now for 25 years. Twice married, a father of four, Pastor Jim Swilly just revealed Monday that he's gay, a secret he's been struggling with since childhood. Coming out now, he says, is not simply a personal decision. As Steve Osunsami reports, the pastor hopes his public testimony will save young lives.
And I wouldn't have known what to it was it a difficult admission in front of the church he founded east of Atlanta. Bishop Jim Swilly has been married twice and is the father of four. But 1 week ago, he says he was moved to share that he's gay.
I know a lot of straight people think that orientation is a choice. I want to tell you that it certainly is not.
He says he's coming out now because of gay suicides. Everyone, he says, is one too many. He says he hopes his truth will save a life.
To think about saving a teenager, yeah, I'll risk my reputation for that. As a father, think about your 16, 17-year-old killing himself.
All right, this is part of his rationale. He has been watching, along with the rest of us, the tragic news of young people, some college-age students, some high schoolers, being exposed or at least alleged to be homosexual and then tragically taking their own lives. He wants this to stop. He wants his admission to do something to help those who live under the shame of this secret. So he's coming out. He says he's known since he was a young man. In his public address to his congregation on Monday, he said since he was 4 years old, he's known in some sense that his orientation, not chosen, but apparently one he's always had, has been toward the same sex. What do you make of this? It's audio, open lines, issues, etc. What's your reaction? 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of November. 1-877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC or join the conversation at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Here's more from Good Morning America.
The suicides have certainly changed the discussion across the country. Since September 22nd, when 18-year-old Tyler Clementi jumped off a bridge after his roommate allegedly revealed his sexuality on the internet, there have been rallies and vigils, and one man started a movement online.
I was obviously gay, and some kids didn't like that.
Dan Savard did the first video. He called the campaign It Gets Better.
Hearing about these kids who are committing suicide, the reaction as a gay adult is always, God, I wish I could have just talked to them for 15 minutes or 5 minutes and told them it gets better.
3 weeks later, at a city council meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, gay city councilman Joel Burns was moved to share his emotional story, how close he came to killing himself when he was just 13.
Life got so much better for me, and I want to tell any teen who might see this, give yourself a chance to see just how much better life will get.
And soon, on YouTube, a chorus of voices.
It gets better.
I care. A lot of people care.
From the president to the cast of Jersey Shore, telling gay youth.
And every day, it gets better.
Bishop Swilly says he is proof. His family, including his ex-wife, remain by his side. He believes that God loves you for who you are. For Good Morning America, Steve Osunsami, ABC News, Atlanta.
All right, this is a story from Good Morning America. Now I want to hear from you. What's your reaction to this megachurch pastor? This is the first one who, to my knowledge, has openly admitted or willingly admitted that he is homosexual. Others have been accused. Others have been discovered. We think about Bishop Long. We also think about, several years ago, Ted Haggard. But this is the first one who's come out and said, look, this is who I am. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. My ministry will continue. I want to stop the suicides of young people who are living with the shame of the secret. Your thoughts? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our Facebook fan page open for your questions and your comments during audio open lines on this Tuesday afternoon, facebook.com/IssuesETC, or just send us an email right here in real time, talkback@IssuesETC.org. Sean in San Jose, California says, given that we continue to live in times during which men will not put up with sound doctrine and insist upon surrounding themselves with like-minded people suffering from itching ears, I find it incredible, in the genuine sense of the word, that this man respects my opinions and viewpoints at all. As horrible as it has been been to watch case after case reported of these suicides, I find that the decision by this man, which is itself the byproduct of several other decisions along the way, is likely horrible, since when do we show our love for one another by failing to offer reproof for one another's sins? What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. By the way, Sean, thank you very much for listening in San Jose. Well, he says he's going to keep preaching the gospel. I don't think he mentioned sin. He talked about orientation. If you can't understand it, put yourself in our shoes, kind of a thing. For him, it really wasn't a matter of sin or repentance. This is not a confession. This is an admission. And they're two different things. If you listen to his entire message that he gave to his congregation, he's not so much confessing a sin as he is telling them something he's been keeping secret, getting it off his chest. He doesn't ask for their forgiveness, except perhaps for keeping it a secret for so long. He simply says, this is who I am, accept me. God already accepts me the way I am. What about you? James in Montana says, how significant that the article puts it, pastor of a Georgia megachurch with thousands of followers, exactly as opposed to the followers of Jesus. If you don't believe me, read the article. Jesus is mentioned exactly zero times. Well, that, you know, the news stories are not exactly going to focus on Jesus because Jesus did have something to say about husbands and wives and the way that God created us. Thank you very much for listening in Montana. Joel in Watertown, Wisconsin says, a twice divorced pastor. That shows how much he and his church respected God's word in the first place. God loves you as you are. No, he hates you as you are. Psalm 5, verse 5, we are by nature objects of wrath. Suicide is the ultimate slap in Christ's face, who put himself on the cross for sinners to give hope and forgiveness and the power to escape from sin and despair. That's Joe in Watertown, Wisconsin. We'll have more of your questions, your comments during Audio Open Lines right after this.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about Bishop Jim Swilley of Church of the Now in Georgia. He admitted on Monday to his congregation, apparently the rumors had been flying, some of them false, some of them true, that he was gay and involved in other activities. He finally did admit that he is. Did not confess that he is, but admitted that he is. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of those who sat there at Church of the Now on Monday. What if your pastor, think about it this way, what if your pastor stood up one Sunday and came out? He wasn't asking for your forgiveness, just your understanding and your acceptance. He wasn't asking for anyone's forgiveness, just understanding and acceptance. And what if his ex-wife or ex-wives, as the case may be with Bishop Swilley, his parents, his staff, his fellow pastors there at the church, and most of the rest of the congregation gave him exactly what he was asking for, affirmation and acceptance. Ministry continues. What would you do? 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, November the 2nd. So put yourself in the shoes of those who heard Bishop Swilley admit that he is gay. What would you do if almost everyone around you, when he's done admitting it, not really confessing it, but admitting it, gave him a round of applause and said, Pastor, good for you. Thanks for telling us the truth. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Earl in Winchester, Virginia says, Oh Lord, not another one. What differentiates us from the world? Well, that's a good question. In fact, I think it's a rather insightful question. And thank you very much, Earl, listening in Virginia. If this were a politician, he's not asking, he might ask for his wife's forgiveness, but this man's divorced from his wife, stood up and said, look, I've been keeping a secret. I'm gay. Most people today would yawn. It might make some headlines. If it were a conservative politician, it would certainly make headlines. If it weren't, it probably would be a story for one or two days, and then it's over with, because all we expect our politicians to do is admit such things, not lie to us openly. But from Christian pastors, especially given what the Bible so clearly teaches about homosexuality, it's certainly commendable that he would be honest, but something more than honesty is called for here, don't you think? He is simply admitting but not confessing, and there's a big difference between the two. What do you think? 1-877-623-MY-IE, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Ted in Canada has this to say, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that is bishop, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer, a bishop, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity and keep his children in submission. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Quoting, of course, 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. And then he adds, at the end of the admission, he did remove himself from being bishop of the non-denominational megachurch. No, he did not. Didn't think so. I guess for him, there is no sola scriptura. Well, he says he's always, the two things he said, now this was not in the ABC piece, it was in his longer address to the congregation. He said two things he's always been sure of beyond a shadow of a doubt. One is his call to preach the gospel. Two is his sexual orientation. One he's always done diligently, the other one he's hid for the better part of 50 years. He's always been sure that he's a preacher called to proclaim the gospel and that he's a gay man. And he's just right now getting around to admitting the second. So everything's even. He goes on with his ministry. I mentioned this before. We had a guest at one point several years ago. We were talking about the megachurch and its tendency to kind of back off touchy social and moral issues sometimes, ones that are more common. We're not talking about same-sex marriage or even homosexuality in most cases, but talking about adultery or divorce, issues upon which Scripture speaks very clearly, but nowadays the church is rather muted on those things. Why? Because you don't want to offend anybody. And this guest opined that there would come a day, sooner rather than later, when in some prominent, influential megachurch, I think the one that he referenced was perhaps Willow Creek at some time in the future, would decide that it needs to modify its position on homosexuality. Maybe a ministry to homosexuals, maybe perhaps perform a same-sex marriage. And the guest opined, well, that would be it. What would hold back big box pop American Christianity? What theologically would keep pop American Christianity from going that direction? If, of course, the logic, the calculus always is, we can't offend anybody. We don't want to upset anybody. We want to reflect as much as possible pop culture so that everybody's comfortable, accepted, and affirmed when they come here. It's a very good question. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Larry in Georgia says that, quote-unquote, church is not too far from here. I watched his coming out party online and was struck by the fact that all he's doing is allowing his feelings to trump the word of God. Well, isn't that the case? He's felt this since he was 4 years old. He's known this since he was a little child. Now he's admitting it to everyone. And the sum and substance of his address was, don't criticize me or others like me. We didn't choose this, and since if you're not gay, you cannot possibly know what we're going through. If you don't know what we're going through, just don't bother us. You have to walk a mile in our shoes, and if you're not gay, you can't understand. It's a gay thing, I suppose. I don't want to sound crass, but that is in essence his logic. If you have any objections, remember, if you're not gay, you just can't understand what we go through. So don't judge. Chris in Nashville, Tennessee says, if this pastor, or my pastor for that matter, refused to repent of homosexual behavior, he should be excommunicated for his own sake and for the sake of the flock. That's what would have happened in historic Christianity. But that's not what's going to happen here, I can assure you. There might be people who leave Church of the Now. I'm certain that there will be. There might be people who disassociate from Church of the Now and from Bishop Swilly. But he will not leave that ministry. The people who remain will be those who accept his admission, not his confession, but accept his admission and want to get on with whatever is next. Helen in Austin, Texas simply asks, Church of the Now? Yeah, I thought about that too, Helen. Yes, was it Flip Wilson that talked about the Church of what's happening now? Years ago, it was a comedy routine. Now, it's just the name of a megachurch. They've been there for a long time. She says, who says it's a Christian church? What gospel? He took three wives to come out. How is this different from the ELCA? Actually, to tell you the truth, I think it's a little ahead of the ELCA. And that's not easy to do nowadays. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that has decided they've jumped on the bandwagon with this It Gets Better campaign. We did some audio open lines on that last week when Bishop Hansen issued his little video addition to It Gets Better, which is aimed at American teens who feel the shame of the secret of homosexuality. Don't kill yourself. It gets better. That's the message, which we don't want anyone to commit suicide. But he simply said, look, God made you this way. Don't let people's insults get you down. They're simply insulting you for something God created in you. Now, I say it's a little farther out than the ELCA because here's a pastor who is now openly admitting and expecting, not arguing for, but simply expecting affirmation from his congregation. And anyone who doesn't understand simply doesn't know what it's like to be a gay man in America today. The capitulation to the culture. The church has always, in America, been tempted to do this because American culture is so very powerful. We are often Americans first and Christians second, if not third. Americans first, football fans, baseball fans second, and then Christians somewhere down the line. American culture is powerful. It really is. That's why it's influenced so many and so much of everything that we experience. The church, sadly, first in the ecumenical movement, kind of mainline liberalism, about 50 years ago decided that the culture needs to lead the way. And then, to everyone's surprise, but apparently not too big of a surprise, Pop American Christianity jumped on the cultural bandwagon too and said culture needs to call the shots. The problem with capitulation to the culture is the culture calls the shots, and pretty soon the church has nothing to say. Not from God's word, not from historic Christianity. And what gets lost? The one thing that the church does have to say that the culture can't offer, the message of sin and grace, of sin, our sin, and the forgiveness that is found only in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The gospel gets lost. Well, you'll find churches faithful to God's word, not to pop culture, under the Find a Church page of our website, issuesetc.org. These churches are part of the Issues Etc. 300, our church sponsorship program. Find out how your congregation can join the 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. There's a flyer there that'll tell you and your congregation everything you need to know. The Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, Pastor Bill Swirla on temptation.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Upon returning home for lunch, a man's neighbor alerted him to a baby crying in the dumpster. He jumped in and found the infant in a plastic bag. He rescued the little boy and got him to the hospital where the baby was in stable condition. A bigger shock came later in the evening when police told him he was the father. He had no idea his girlfriend was even pregnant, probably because she too said she was unaware of the pregnancy, but tried to dispose of the living infant in the dumpster. She'll be charged with attempted murder. The man's happy about being a father and hopes to gain custody of his son. Who would have imagined dumpster diving in this case would lead to saving the life of his own child? While the circumstances are tragic, thankfully the story has a happy ending.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.